Hart and Larry Wolf for the second half.
Thank you, Ryan. Total offense in the first half, Hartley 274 yards, 259 on the ground, 15 passing for Alder, 102 total offense, 83 on the ground, 19 in the air. 12 first downs for Hartley, 6 for Alder, 4 penalties for 40 yards for Hartley, 1 for 15 for Alder. 2 turnovers committed by the Hawks in the second quarter. Some individual stats in this contest. Dixon, 11 carries for 163 yards and 3 touchdowns. Onaga, 5 for 39. Cole, 2 for 38. Culver, 7 for 30. Ruby is 2 of 5 passing for 15 yards and an interception for Alder. Dye, 12 carries, 49 yards. Foos, 6 for 34 yards and a touchdown. Eisnagel's 1 of 6 passing for 19 yards. And that's the way we stand, 21-7 here as we get ready for the start of the second half. Larry, what would you say at halftime?
Well, we get back to basic Bishop Hartley football. As Hartley, we're going to play tough defense. We're not going to let them drive the football, even if it was a 30-yard drive. And we're going to go back to our big dog in the backfield getting the football.
Agresti to boot it underway in the second half, and that is going to trickle along the sidelines and stay in bounds. And Potts is going to pay the price inside the 15-yard line. Picked it up and went backward a yard as the pressure was there on Dalton. He tried to find an opening, and there was absolutely nothing there to the short side of the field, so it'll be first and 10 for Alder from there. As we're just underway in the second half in Volunteer Field, and again, we apologize at times the scoreboard freaks out on us here and it goes to complete blankness and comes back again. Right now we can tell you we're 4 seconds into the second half.
Potts was hoping that ball would roll out of bounds and it laid dead about a foot from the side.
He almost did a Lenny Randle, try to blow it out of bounds and make it go foul.
I'm sure he's hoping just kick it out of bounds so he didn't get a beating.
Now they're going to go single wing again because Eisnog is wide to the bottom. Foos is the deep man. He's going to get the direct snap and take it across the 15 up to the 18-yard line. He was hit at the 16 and nearly kept his balance but fell forward to about the 18 or 19 before he's knocked down on the play. So a good gain on first down as the hit is made after that short gain on the play for the Hawks.
Luke Kearney.
Yep, Kearney's in there. No, actually, that's Jordan Smith.
Oh, that's right.
Jordan Smith, 5'11", 250. Yeah. Kearney would be the freshman.
That is correct.
So it'll be second down with the ball resting at the 19-yard line. And again, Eisnagel's going to go to the bottom of the set. Let's see if it goes to the deep man of the three backs again. Foos. He gets it. And gets it up to the 21, maybe the 22-yard line before he's knocked down on the play. Marquette Dixon playing some linebacker in there as well, too, making the hit. Going to set up a third down and two from just past the 22. He played almost a minute the second half.
That was that little cutback, though, I talked about earlier in the first half, that if he starts that run to the left and cuts it back to the right, he's got a chance to crease it, and he almost creased that one. There was a hole, and he just couldn't get through it.
You ever have a scenario where you had the quarterback go to the sidelines, get the play, go into the huddle, and give it to everybody, then go wide to the bottom of the formation?
No. We've run some different things, but that's one we haven't done.
Foos again on the single wing, and he is brought down. Takedown right around the 23-yard line and just take.
Nothing. So fourth and short. Eisnagel, by the way, the quarterback, and a key for wide receiver. Will stay in there now to punt, allegedly, although Foos is one of the up men. Well, Foos needs to take that ball to the north and south because the east and west, he's not going to outrun the target defense. Eisnagel standing back in his own 7-yard line.
7-yard line. Good snap. Back. And there's the kick. Line drive affair is going to hit across midfield, trickle across the 45-yard line, and be down right around the 43 is snatching the ball, and he didn't have much choice. It was Hunter Maynard as it bounced right up into his breadbasket, so they're going to mark it officially at around the 43 after that 35-yard punt, and the Hawks will get their first possession of the second half. Do you expect to see more of Marquette Dixon?
Marquette
here?
Dixon and the quick hitters with Nick Onaga, and this offensive line is going to try and take this game over right now. This is a big drive right now.
Well, Dixon might have to be in motion because he set up wide to the bottom of the set along with Manley.
He'll go in motion across the formation here, I'm sure, or go deep for a toss sweep.
Onaga, the lone back in the backfield for now. Dixon in motion. Handoff goes to Onaga across the 45 up to the 48-yard line. So Nick will pick up about 4 on the play. Second down and 6. 9:55 and ticking third quarter. Hawks up 21-7.
What Hartley's doing right there with that motion is they're setting up the jet sweep with Marquette Dixon because when he took off, part of the defense stayed, part of the defense went, so it could be a good play for them.
Mash set this time with the backs offset. Dixon, the deep back of the two. He's got it off the right side and pushes the pile. Flag down on the play. He's knocked down inside the 49 of the Pioneers, but the flag tossed back to the 48 of the Hawks with 9:31 left to go. And I tell you what, if you could see holding in there, you're a better man than I.
I was just going to say the same thing. It's like looking in a tunnel. I mean, it's all dark in there.
It's like three octopi.
Watch your
chop block.
Oh, well, it's easy to have a chop block because you got guys shoulder to shoulder in there. So if two guys hit the same guy and one falls down or hits down on the legs, you could easily have a chop block. I could see that.
An octopi, that 8-3 octopi would be 24, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I know, you taught science.
But I have my shoes off. I can count.
Well, did you teach anything ever besides history?
Physical education, music appreciation, art, reading, religion. I taught in Catholic schools. You got to teach everything there, baby.
Music appreciation?
Yeah, go figure.
And art?
Yeah.
Were you a Van Gogh kind of guy?
I went.
You're a Van Went kind of guy, right?
Yep.
Second down and 25. You are an artiste. 9:27. Toss sweep. Marquette Dixon got room. Has blockers. 40. 45. Midfield. 45. 40. Marquette Dixon. 30. 25. He's going to take it the distance. Marquette Dixon. 9:12 left to go. Motors all the way down the field. Takes it in for some 67 yards. And just like that, the Hawks get their touchdown.
Marquette Dixon should go over and thank Jaden Manley. Jaden Manley absolutely pancaked one of the defenders out on the perimeter. I couldn't get his number because he was scrambling to get back in the play. But it was a fantastic block by Jaden Manley out on the perimeter, and that sprung him down the sideline. Of course, they're not going to catch Marquette when he turns the corner.
A chance for Matteo Agresti to make his 60th extra point of the campaign. Hoffman to hold. Good snap. There's the kick. It is up. And he's done it. The Hawks lead 28-7 as we head to a break. We'll remind you, you are listening to WBSG Columbus St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Get 0% financing for 72 months on almost all remaining 2016 Ford vehicles at Bob Boyd Ford in Lancaster. This is Bobby Dawes, and for a limited time, you can buy a new 2016 Ford F-150, the best-selling vehicle in the world, and pay 0% up to 72 months. Shop us 24-7 at BobBoyd.com and experience for yourself. The best deals are always on Route 33 at the Bob Boyd Auto Family. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
The Bob Boyd way.
Guys, Heath is trailing Philo 14-0, and New Albany just scored. They've got a 17-0 lead over West now.
Marquette Dixon now with 12 carries, 230 yards, 4 touchdowns, 3 plays, 57 yards, the shortest drive of the night for either team. Most of the drives were just over a minute. That one was under a minute at 49 seconds, 28-7, the Hawks lead, and Agresti with a kick. And the return going to start from the 21-yard line. Up across the 30 to the 35, maybe the 36-yard line on the return that time. So they'll get decent field position, will the Pioneers, but they're down now 28-7 in this contest. As you look at the numbers now on Marquette Dixon, that gives him touchdown number 25 on the campaign.
It's a shame he doesn't know what to do with the ball when he gets it. I mean, it really is a shame. He turned a corner, and he looked like he was hoping to hit somebody. Somebody got angry in the locker room, I think.
That was a locomotive. Locomotive without a track.
It was running downhill.
He was ready to go. Took it the distance. First and 10 now. Pioneers from the 37-yard line. Eisnagel back at quarterback now from the gun. Rolls left, now right. Now looks downfield and guns it. And the pass is incomplete. Overthrew everybody at the Hawk 41-yard line.
Well, Jonathan Alder ran two receivers from the wide side of the field to the short side of the field, and that they rolled back out to the wide side of the field, so there was nobody over there, so he just had to throw it away. I think they were hoping for a crossing route from this side, but that didn't happen.
And then it was second down and 10. Eisnagel waiting for the information. He's close to the sidelines, waiting for information from Brett Glass, the third-year head coach here. 5 years before that as the D coordinator, 1 year as a defensive assistant, 31 years of age. An 03 graduate of Alder. He played DB and wide receiver in three of those contests against Hartley. We talked about the fact that Hartley won the first five of those 10 games they played from 97 to 2006, and then Alder won the next five. On the ground, it's Dye across the 40, 45. Dye across midfield and all the way down to the Hawk 42-yard line before he's brought down on the play. A touchdown-saving tackle made by Culver coming up from the secondary, but that's more than enough for a first down for the Pioneers with 8:59 left.
Cameron Culver did a nice job there at safety because he came up and he just kind of just settled down. He didn't dive for his feet. He stayed on his feet, made the hit, and made the tackle, and it was a short tackle.
Jamie picks up 20 on the play. First and 10 from the Hawk 43. Koenig wide to the top. Man of the slot. Two backs offset from the gun now. Handoff goes again to Dye, tries to squirt through a gap there, and there's nothing there. Gets to the line of scrimmage, and that's about it. Tell you what, penetration on that play was Boffman coming through at linebacker.
Yeah, Boffman was big on that one.
So we'll give him about a half yard, second down. We'll call it generously nine with 8:23 left to go. Scoreboard has a new Fritz now. The score is not working. It's 28-7. Something different every time you look at it.
Yeah. That keeps us on our toes.
Kind of like a lottery or a contest or something.
Guess what the score. How much time.
Better write that down just in case we forget. 28-7, a second down and nine from just inside the 43. Ice knuckle.
You better
rolling left, now right. Now right again. Now spins, and he is brought down. Sandwiched and waiting for him as he turned the corner was Thomas Kazmir.
And again, he should have gotten rid of the ball because there was no place to go, and Kazmir was waiting on him.
Knocked down back of the 48-yard line, so a loss on the play of about five. It'll be third and 15 from there with 7:41 left to go. Hawks 8-2 on the season. Alder at 9-1. This is play in Division 4, Region 14. Pioneers the number 4 seed, the Hawks the number 5 seed. The winner to take on the winner of the 1-8 matchup in this region. Will it be Port Clinton? Will it be Benjamin Logan? Third and 15. From the gun, Eisnagel rolling left. Two receivers to that side of the field. Looks, throws, pass is incomplete. Looking for Koenig, but great coverage on the play as Manley broke for the football at the same time Koenig did.
Koenig can't get separation from Manley. Manley is too athletic, and he just sits on the route and then explodes on the ball, and he's just too athletic and too quick.
So the ball back at the 48-yard line, fourth and 15, a punting situation now, and the Hawks will get it back. You have to be very careful here if you're Jonathan Alder because the Hawks up by 21 already in this contest, looking to make it 28. If we get to a 30-point cushion, we're going to see that clock start to motor.
Yep.
Which I always wanted to ask you, do you think in a playoff that should happen?
Sure, those are the rules you play by all year. Why would you change them in the playoff?
They're going to go for it on 4th and 15, at least it looks that way. Little toss out and a double handoff. It goes back, and they're going to throw it back to the quarterback. It hangs up in the air, and the pass is incomplete. Not the first time they tried that. Is they throw it back, and they get it to the wide receiver who used to be the quarterback in the pass, Colton Swick. And Swick then looks downfield. It's the old play that John Elway used to run with the Denver Broncos. So he rolls to this side, and then the quarterback goes out of the backfield, goes to the right, and that time Eisnagel's downfield. But unfortunately, the pass by Swick just kind of sailed and then just kind of floated inside the 40-yard line.
There were several guys with camo gear coming out to shoot that thing. It was a duck. That baby was floating around, and if he could have made the catch, it would have been a first down.
But instead, the Hawks get it back first and 10 from their own 48-yard line now.
And they've got the beef in the backfield now. They've got all three of the big dudes, Cohn, Blackman.
And Dixon. All 200-pounders.
Yep, or bigger.
And they're going to go triple stack to start this play. Dixon gets it. Gets it across midfield and just punishes people down to the 48-yard line. Now, that's a play, Larry, that doesn't gain a ton, but you want to talk about the punishment. You got those guys plus the linemen going after you.
That is a statement that says, we're tired of being 28-7. We want to hurt you. We want to make sure, now I don't mean physically hurt you, I mean hurt you in the heart. We're going to just cut your heart out right here. We're going to jam it down your throat. It's a message. This is a paid political advertisement right here.
That sounds like sportsmanship to me.
It is.
Second down and six from the 48. Glad to have you aboard on stgabrielradio.com as well on AM 820. And a spin move. Look at that move by Cohn. Inside the 30, I make that the 42-yard line, did a pirouette there and got it down to about the 40-yard line. So the big guy, who stands 6'2 and 230 pounds, showing his mobility, doing a 360 and picking up an additional 2 yards.
I don't think he wanted that run to end. He doesn't get the ball very often, so when he got it, he just wanted to keep going as long as he could.
Like a curtain call then,
yep,
huh?
Yep.
A ball down at the 40-yard line, first and 10 for the Hawks in Pioneer territory with 6:10 and ticking. Third quarter up 28-7.
They've got all their big dudes in the backfield right now.
This time Blackman, though, on a wing to the top. Now he's in motion to the bottom. Dixon.
Fumble.
Lost a handoff. It's bouncing around, scooped up by whom? It's scooped up by Jonathan Alder, coming back the way across midfield, down to the 45, inside the 45, down around the 42-yard line. On the return that time, scooping it up is Brian Black, who already has an interception return, but there's a flag down on the field at the 38-yard line. And there's two flags now. Do they flag for the hit out of bounds, too?
I don't know.
We'll see what the scenario is from Andy Teeter. I'm blocked off by the midsection here of the divider here.
Well, the flag down here closest to us was thrown on the field. It wasn't thrown on the sidelines.
Right. And that's resting back around the 38-yard line. Mr. Teeter comes our way and says,
chop block
against Hartley. That's declined. Holding against Jonathan Alder.
On the return.
Post possession. So for Pioneers, 5:45 left to go. So another turnover. Is that the third turnover for the Hawks so far in this contest?
Yes, it is.
From the second quarter on.
That handoff never happened. Now, I just think Jake Ruby probably fumbled the handoff, tried to get it to him, and it bounced off his foot, rolled right down. And
so mark the ball at the 42-yard line after the assessment of the penalty in Jonathan Alder territory. They will have it first and 10 from there.
And that was Brian Black again.
Yeah.
He's got six interceptions and a fumble recovery now, and he just seems to be in the right place at the right time.
In his freshman year on the freshman team, he had six interceptions during that shortened campaign. First and 10 for Eisnagel and company from the 42-yard line. That time. And fights and pushes the pile up to around the 46, maybe the 47-yard line.
Now, I know Hartley knows better than this, but Jonathan Alder is not going to go away. They're going to fight this to the very end. That's what they do. They're a good football program, and they're going to fight and fight and fight. They don't care what the score is.
Jimmy Dye picks up about five on the play. Second and five from just past the 47 near the 48-yard line. Down to 5:15 left to go and ticking here in the third quarter. Bishop Hartley leads 28-7. Lots to the top. Caning to the bottom. One back in the backfield. That's Dye. Jamie's got the handoff. He's across midfield, and he's down to the Hawk 49, maybe the 48-yard line, near the sticks. A couple of Hawks helping to make the hit right there. Boffman is there on the play. And also helping to make the hit for the Hawks on the play is James Reese. And they say it's enough for a first down at the 48-yard line. So Alder with something going down by 21.
Well, they desperately need to score and make this a 14-point game. And then a turnover, you know what I mean, it gets a little dicey there for the Hawks. So they've had a chance to put them away here and didn't do it. So now you have to fight the fight.
From the 48-yard line. Eisnagel to the bottom, so it'll be the single wing thing with Foose again. And Foose has got the snap, fights, and got to the line of scrimmage and pushes the pile forward. Let's see where they give him forward progress, because he continued to push and actually got out of the pile at the 42-yard line, but the scrum was at the 47.
Well, see, that's kind of interesting because, you know, you blow the whistle because he's allegedly down, but the pile keeps moving. And at some point, he either is down or he's not down, and when the whistle blows, you got to stop.
And he got out of it, too, but they're going to say he was stopped at the 47, so a gain of 1, 2nd and 9, with about 4 minutes left to go here in the third quarter.
That's part of one of those calls that always drives you crazy because, you know, when those guys fall on the ground and they fall on top of somebody and they're not down technically, well, if you came up and pile-drivered them on the bottom, you get a penalty, I guarantee it.
Again, that single-wing look. Foose may toss it back. He does to Eisnagel, who looks downfield and wide open downfield, and he dropped the football.
Wow.
This time is Colton Swick. This time, Eisnagel comes back, gets the toss from Foose, throws it downfield, and nobody near number 18, Colton Swick, and he dropped the football for an incomplete pass. Swick had 4 catches for 38 yards coming into this contest. And again, forced into duty as a wideout because of the injury to Trey Pugh.
See, all of that reverse action stuff, it messes with your eyes when you're on defense, and you start seeing things you shouldn't see. Whoever was in charge of that coverage got his eyes in the backfield instead of on his man, and that's what happens. You see too much, and you don't see the right things.
Dixon out, Carter in, Koenig to the top, Potts to the same side of the field. Third down and nine. 3:40 left to go from the Hawk 47-yard line. Keep it on the ground. Die. Goes to the ground. Lost his balance right at the 48-yard line. Maybe got near the line of scrimmage. It'll be fourth down and long now.
And Jack Baltman again on the tackle. He's been all over the field. Between he and Cody Kirkbride, they've just had a great game tonight. And Jade Manley is, as well on the defensive side.
The knee slips down right at the 48, so they lose one, so it's going to be fourth down and 10 from there with 3:18 left to go. Do you go for it here if you're the Pioneer?
Sure, they're going to. The problem is if you don't make it, you turn it over. Well, it doesn't matter. 50 yards, 60 yards, 70 yards. If they break the run,
two more seconds for Dixon to run, right?
Right. It doesn't matter, so you might as well go for it. And
Swick.
We got an illegal formation here.
To the top.
Will they let it go?
Ice knuckle downfield looking for Koenig. Trying to come back with the football. Made the catch at the 25-20. 15-10-5 takes it in. Good adjustment by Koenig to come back with the football. Andrew is the only guy that looked around, makes the catch, and it's a 48-yard touchdown pass, and it's now 28-13.
Well, that was absolutely a great throw. It was the only place it could be, and it was between two defenders. One was Jaden Manley, and the other defender was Philip Cole. And we have a football game again.
So Koenig with the catch, his fourth touchdown on the campaign. The lead is at 15.
It was double coverage, and it was good coverage. He just went up and got the football.
Gordon for the extra points. Snap, kick, and we've got a flag before the start of the play. We have encroachment or somebody lined up in the neutral zone. Let's see what we have. It's against the Hawks, I think.
Yep, offsides.
Now, do you change anything here? Do you think about going for two?
No. You just wish you could keep that point on the board and go kick off and take the 5 yards on the kickoff. But you can't in high school because the play becomes dead immediately as soon as they encroach.
Our scoreboard is getting more elderly. It's flashing on and off for about three or four seconds
at a time.
Don't
talk about me like that. I flash off
and off. It's going Wolfie on us here.
Yeah.
So this time, oh, there goes the scoreboard again. The ball spotted at the 9. High snap, there's the kick, it is up. And the snap was almost as high as the kick, but it makes it through. It's now 28-14, 2:49 left to go third quarter. We'll pause and remind you, this is the CCL Game of the Week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Do you have a child in college? Education First Credit Union offers a private student loan solution with your financial best interest in mind. Our private student loan features zero loan fees, low interest rates, the option to defer all payments while in school, no prepayment penalty, and the convenience of a line of credit. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity lender and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
The River defense just gets a scoop and score, and they cut the Reedy lead to 21-14. Also, Pickerington Central is rolling. They have a 28-7 lead over Springfield.
Here, Eisnagel, 48 yards to Koenig. Gordon, the PAT, sixth play. 58-yard drive. I believe that's the longest drive of the night. 2:56 is what it took off the clock. Almost 3 minutes, and now we stand at 28-14.
What took them so long?
There's the kick by Gordon. And finds an empty spot, and finally the Hawks, are going to cover it right at the 14-yard line.
Aiden Gordon's kick is
got Ruby back there?
15-yard line.
Yeah, Ruby was back there. So Jake covers it. What about the leadership, too, they've had from Jake Ruby over the last few years?
Well, it seems like he's been there for 10 years. I mean, he's been quarterbacking forever, and he's a wonderful baseball player, and he's a pretty doggone good quarterback. And, you know, in an offense that would throw the ball 40 times a game, he could do that too. I mean, he's that kind of athlete. It's just a matter of what he practices and what he does, and he just does a great job.
It's ironic that both of these quarterbacks are going to play college baseball next season. First and 10 from the 14-yard line. Dixon says, get out of my way. Found a little gap up to around the 16, maybe the 17-yard line before he's knocked down. Boy, he had a house of speed, just burning and churning with the legs, kicking and trying to get through that gap, and made maybe two or three when there should have been nothing, but even the shoulders were going back and forth as he hit that seam.
He ran like he was at a full sprint. He looked like a sprinter on a track coming off that snap.
Second and 8 from the 16th toss. Sweep to Dixon, far side of the field. 15, 20, here he goes. 25, 30, 35, 40. 45, cuts it back. Midfield, 45, 40, 35, 30, and knocked down somehow from behind inside the 30-yard line. This guy is threatening to break 300 yards in this contest.
I thought he'd do that in the first half. Because if they'd have just kept giving him the ball, I mean, he had 11 carries. But I thought for sure he would.
56 yards on that gain. Marked the ball to the 27-yard line now.
And Jacob Sullivan ran him down. Didn't really run him down from behind, but because he had to cut back, it's good pursuit by a lineman. I mean, 35, 40 yards downfield.
292 yards rushing from Arquette Dixon. First and 10 from inside the 30. The counter play this time. They churn. Blackman's still moving the pile. There's a flag down on the play. He's not down until he gets to the 20-yard line.
I'm guessing chop block again. Only because I don't know what else you could call
it. That's a point of emphasis here in this contest, apparently. That's the same call.
And I'm pretty sure Hartley probably goes all year and only gets a few of those. They've had three or four of them tonight.
Different crews kind of look for different things, don't they?
Absolutely. The officials are like fingerprints. Everybody's unique. They do their own thing, and what one would consider a chop block, somebody else might not. Or they might ignore it because it had no effect on anything. But it's not necessarily good or bad. It's just that's the way it is.
Ball right at the 39-yard line. It'll be first down and 20 from there for the Hawks. Two backs in the backfield. Coming around this time on a handoff. Is that Manley who's got it? Manley extends down to the 35-yard line. This time Manley gets the handoff, the wide receiver coming around and got a little gain to the 35-yard line. Going to do a little equipment repair down on the field by one of the officials on Mr. Manley as he comes up from the bottom of the pile.
I think it's better if Marquette Dixon carries the ball because that time he was the lead blocker and just absolutely pancaked one of the JA defenders. And he's angry about something. I think he was born angry. That was Dylan DeVere he just put on his back.
Second and 17 from the 35. Toss sweep, wide side. Dixon lost the handle, got it back. 35 and down at the 31. Now the Hawks want a horse collar. They're not going to get that call as he's brought down inside the 32 near the 31.
Well, they didn't pull him backwards. They grabbed him by the back, but he went forward. So it's not a horse collar unless you pull him backwards.
Well, he's guilty of being strong then.
Yes, he's guilty of being strong. Because the danger is when you pull backwards.
Under a minute left to go, third quarter. Third down play for the Hawks. The ball resting at the 31-yard line. They need 13 on what could be the last play of the third quarter. Play clock down to 10.
Trapped on again.
It's Blackman who's in there at the tailback slot. He gets it inside the 30, down to around the 29 or 28. And the Hawks will think about it before they run a fourth down play to start the fourth quarter as they lead this contest. 28-14. Fourth quarter around the corner on the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
Because your heart is what really makes your world go round. And because you have touched the hearts of others in ways no one else can. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason we are constantly adopting new heart care treatments. Why we've assembled the best in the treatment of heart and vascular disease. And why we provide specially trained clinicians for the most serious heart patients. So you can receive the special care you need every step of the way. Through your hospital treatment and after you return home, so you can get back to the life you love. At Mount Carmel, you'll receive the best heart care from a dedicated team that's always focused on you. Because there's no one else like you, and no other heart quite like yours. Mount Carmel, because of you. Learn more about our patient-centered care at mountcarmelhealth.com.
And welcome back to Volunteer Field. Fourth quarter action. Bishop Hartley leads Jonathan Alder 28-14. Randy Reinhardt, Larry Wolf, Scott Rex, Greg Savaldi on location at the studio. Ryan Baker, Lee Cochran. 426 yards total offense for the Hawks. 4-11 on the ground. Fourth down and 11. Toss to Dixon trying to turn the corner. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. Hit by two guys, bounces off, and gets into the end zone for a touchdown and goes over 300 yards rushing. Gets his fifth touchdown of the night where mere mortals would have been knocked down at the 30-yard line. Dixon still made it in for the score.
Well, I think he should be a tackle. I don't think he's good enough to be a running back. I mean, he bounced off of three or four guys. He made it look too easy. He's got to be a tackle. You got to give him a challenge. because that was not a challenge. I mean, he is a stallion. I hate to say that. He's a hawk, right? He's a hawk, not a stallion.
26 touchdowns on the ground. We'll see the Stallions tomorrow night.
Yes.
34-14, Agresti time. Kick is up, and it is good.
I'll tell you what, as a coach, you love to have a running back like that. He's angry. He's just mad at the world that wants to tackle him.
Let's pause for 30 again here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Position yourself for success at Ohio Dominican University.
With an outstanding academic reputation, ODU offers an education that produces graduates grounded in faith, values, and ethics.
Ranked in the top tier of U.S. News and World Report's rating of Midwest universities, Ohio Dominican offers a wide range of academic programs that are in demand in today's marketplace.
Whether you're launching your career or preparing for grad school, ODU is here to position you for future success.
Connect your passion with a purpose.
Learn more at ohiodominican.com.
Guys, Devin Dukes is having a huge game. He has 208 yards on the ground, and Reedy is doubling up River 28-14.
Go Silver Knights.
And here Marquette Dixon, 17 carries, 325 yards, 5 touchdowns, and he leads Jonathan Alder 35-14.
Well, he needs to kick extra points or do something different because he's just, you know, this is ridiculous.
Mateo with the boot. High angular kick to the far side of the field. Return's going to start from the 23 up across the 30. And a somersault tackle will end the return of about 9 yards by Sullivan and company. It'll be first and 10 from there for Alder, now down by 21 with 11:45 left to go.
You know, Sullivan and company got in, but Nick Onigo was the guy that submarined that. And, you know, here he is. He's a fullback. He does all this stuff, and he's down covering kicks.
Kind of guy you want to have on your team.
You
unselfish.
You
that'll
better
do it all.
It.
Especially at fullback when you're blocking for a guy like Marquette Dixon. You're going to get, what, 4 or 5 handoffs a contest.
Yeah,
although he's got this game.
He gets the quick traps and those kinds of things. But he runs them like he knows this might be the last time he touches the ball. Every time he runs hard.
35-14 now. 14 seconds into the fourth quarter. Eisnagel back at quarterback. Two backs in the backfield. Rolling right, looking downfield, wants to throw, nothing there, goes to his left, tucks and runs, gets it up to the 35-yard line, and that's it. Somebody landed on their
head.
He's
in the mire. Yeah, he's got about 9 pounds of dirt stuck to his face mask.
Reminder, after the CCL Game of the Week, be sure to tune into the AM 820 Scoreboard Show presented by ThisWeekSports.com. Ryan Baker, Lee Cochran bring you the scores and highlights from the playoff games affecting teams from the OCC, the City League, the CCL, the Licking County League, and the Mid-State League. That's the AM 820 Scoreboard Show after the game right here on AM 820 and StGabrielRadio.com, where we've got quite a few listeners online tonight. Thank you for listening. Let us know sometime by dropping a note to the station as to where you're listening to the games, anywhere across this great country and around the world. Second down and 7. Die left side. Jamie's got it. 35, 37, 38, 39, up to maybe the 40-yard line. So he takes it off tackle and then works it outside from there. So it'll be a third down and short now, awaiting the Pioneers, but down by 21 with 10:50 and ticking.
For those of you listening at home, Randy wasn't really calling the play there. He's just learning to count his numbers, 37, 38, 39, 40. It's just one of those things.
Well, actually, what I was trying to do was replace the clock.
Yeah, well.
It's working constantly. We've got listeners all over.
I've got an hourglass up here with some sand in it. We can
Florida, Philadelphia, London, Ohio. Heard that. Bowling Green. Hilliard's handoff die across the 40. Big gap, and Jamie up to midfield.
Hilliard's my home away from home.
It is my home. The Berg as well, too. Some just say the United States, Detroit, Michigan.
Massive
say hello to you. As in Ohio.
Oh, well, it's close enough.
Centerburg. Lovely Blacklick. Argentina. Thank you for listening in Argentina tonight. And in lovely Pickerington.
It should be spring down there in Argentina, and they're probably bathing suit weather.
It's pretty warm up here.
On the beach.
We should be there. You and me on the beach. First and 10 from the 49.
Nobody wants to see that.
Eisnagel, long downfield, up for grabs, and picked off. And a flag on the play.
That could
picked
be
off
offensive.
By Culver. Manley thought he was pulled down by Koenig on the play at the 22-yard line.
Well, he was. As to whether he gets the call or not, we'll find out.
Our officials confer at the 28. Pass interference on the defense. And the Hartley sideline cannot believe it.
Jade Manley is not a happy camper.
Flag at the 24-yard line. Coach Wooten down there. And what a great story Coach Wooten has been. All the years of service he's given to high school football. This guy is a first-class act beginning to end, serving the City League and for a long time now at Bishop Hartley, too. Always has that towel draped around his neck, too. And a guy that is a big teddy bear and a man that has forgotten more football than I'll ever know. God bless the world for having coaches like Coach Wooten out there.
Big Woot is one of a kind. He's one of a kind.
With the penalty, it's first and 10 now from the 34 of the Hawks. Hand off, Dye. Finds a little gap inside the 30-yard line and falls forward to the 28 with 9:48 left to go.
But you know, Coach Wooten, I say he's one of a kind, but every Catholic school has guys like that.
Yeah.
It's just what one of the nice things about the Catholic League. You get these guys that just, it's like a service to them. They want to do this.
Well, he's always helping. That's
he is
the thing.
One of the greatest
and what does he
guys.
Ask for in return? Nothing.
A smile, a handshake. How you doing, Woot?
Always says hi.
Yep, always says hi.
Second down and four from inside the 34-yard line. Eisnagel, quick pop out of the backfield. Ofus found the football. Juggle it, caught it inside the 20. Rumbles to the 15, the 10. Oh, please. The price inside the 8-yard line. He put his head down. And who did he run into there?
He ran into Elijah Carter. Now, Cody Kirkbride didn't help him because Cody Kirkbride pushed him from behind, and Elijah Carter caught him with a helmet right in his chest.
Gain of 22 by Foose on the play. Marked the ball first and goal from the 6-yard line. As you mentioned it, the Pioneers were not going to roll over and die.
They're not going to. It's not in their DNA. They don't know how to do that.
Single wing look again. Fusa's got it off the right side and gets away from two defenders. Fights, churns inside the three. Is that Boffman that came in early and grabbed at the ankle and didn't get enough of him?
Fusa is their version of a slower, bigger, stronger, maybe running back. But I'm going to tell you what, he puts his pads down and he is like a bowling ball. He just bounces off of people.
6'1 and 240 has a touchdown in this contest.
Maybe 240.
You saying?
He might be bigger than that.
A larger guy?
He could be. Well, I'm going to tell you what, he is thick. He is a thick dude.
By the way, Dye in this contest is now 20 carries for 100 yards. Second down and goal from inside the 4-yard line. Foose takes the handoff. Does he break the plane? Yes, touchdown. Count it. Touchdown to make it another score in this game as the scoreboard has gone completely out now. 35-20 would be the tally, pending the extra point. With 8:13 left to go.
Well, you know what that does? That brings the Hartley offense back on the field. We might see a 400-yard game yet. They keep trading points.
Gordon for the PAT. Well, if the Hawks win, you know that Brad Birchfield will have enough to coach them up about that, right?
Absolutely. They gave up over 100 yards to a rusher.
Extra point time for Gordon. There's the kick. It is up, and it's good. 35-21, Hawks lead with 8:13 left to go. We'll pause for 30 seconds on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
Guys, Dublin Kaufman has just scored again. They lead Davidson 24-0. And Olin Tangi has just scored. They've tied up Lorraine at 14.
Good.
I think Kaufman is trying extra hard for the coach.
I believe they are. They want to make sure he can get back for game three.
Yeah. Crabtree not around. The first couple of games, Foose 3-yard run, seven plays, 68 yards, 3:33 off the clock. Foose now 12 carries, 49 yards, and two touchdowns. And Dye 20 carries, as we mentioned, for 100 yards. And for Austin Foose now, he's got 10 rushing touchdowns, and it is only a two-touchdown bulge now. Marquette Dixon is over 300 yards. Ask Scott Rex now how many yards away he is from 400, just out of curiosity.
While we're waiting here, we got a shout-out to Curtis Krager, old friend of mine who's taking over at Dublin Kaufman tonight as the head coach and defense coordinator. Used to work with us at Derby, and great guy. Played at West Jeff. Wonderful, wonderful young man.
75 yards away from 400. There's the onside kick, and it takes a wicked hop. Can they save it in bounds? Jonathan Alder trying to scoop it up along the far side of the field. Says they have it, and they do. It took a wicked second hop. We'll see. No, Hartley's got it. Hartley's got it. The officials confer and say the Hawks have the football. Jonathan Alder fans were all cheering and everything, but the Hawks say they haven't. And now they say Jonathan Alder has.
I think they pointed the wrong way.
Yeah, they probably pointed the wrong way. We had an arm going in each direction, actually, is what we had.
Well, they both get it.
So Jonathan Alder gets it back with 8:10 left to go.
That was a perfect execution of an onside kick. The ball went along the ground, two or three little nicks, and all of a sudden bounced all maybe 10 feet up in the air and to the back line. And
Ryan Blacko was over there. I wonder if he's the guy that caught it, number 13.
I think he is.
He's had a heck of a game when you think about it.
It was either a 12 or a 13.
Fumble recovery, an interception, and now maybe recovers an onside kick. So give it back to the Pioneers. First and 10 from the Hawk 46-yard line. Clock is gone again. We'll tell you the time in just a second. Dye's got the handoff. Looks for a gap. Gets it to the 44-yard line. And now the Hawk defense looks angry. And they pick up only two on the play before the hit is made by Cody Kirkbride as we approach 8 minutes left.
I think they're angry because they're back on the field. They were kind of hoping that the offense would be out there for a while.
35-21 the count in this one. Eisnagel to the sidelines. Gets the information. Comes back to the huddle. Potts, the first out of the huddle. He goes to the bottom. Koenig to the top. Foose on a wing almost. Now he goes from the middle of the backfield. Is almost a lead back. Eisnagel wants to throw. Looks, guns on the out. Pass is complete inside the 40-yard line. Intended for Colton Swick.
There's just not enough separation in those routes. The fullback is about 7 or 8 yards downfield. The slot man was about 12 or 13. There's not enough separation. You need those at 5, 15, and then the third route at 25 or so, because you have to have room to throw that ball in. There's no chance of completing that pass.
Don't forget, we've got football action tomorrow night here, as Sheridan will take on DeSales. Our coverage will start with the pregame right at 6:45. We'll kick it off at 7 o'clock on Saturday nights.
It's third down here, and you're in four down territory, so it's either going to be a very high percentage pass, or they're going to run the ball inside here and try and get half of it. Foose.
Foose from the single wing look. He's got it. Inside the 45. Bounces it outside 40. Undercut at the 38-yard line and knocked down there at the 37. And Culver makes the hit, and he and Foose have words. And the Hartley Hawks want a flag against Foose as he came back to Culver to have something to say to him. Culver sacrificed his body in that play, and it's not a first down. It's going to be inside the 38 near the 37. It's going to be fourth down in just more than a yard, almost 2 yards now for a first down. 7 minutes left to go in this contest. Hartley leads 35-21.
And Patrick Gilligan has come into the game for the Hawks. He's about 6'5 and about 305 at nose tackle.
Single wing look again with Foose the deep man. He's got it. He's going to go forward. He's got the first down inside the 35-yard line. Carries defenders down to the 33-yard line. He is a runaway bull. Has the first down with 6:43 left to go.
Well, the Jonathan Alder sideline is certainly enthused about this. 6:43 to go. They're down 14 in a game that they probably can't win. But somebody forgot to tell them. And they're playing this thing all the way down, and they look energized. They look like they... this is the kind of stuff that scares you if you're Hartley.
Also approaching a sideline warning, too, because they have guys out there near the sidelines and almost on the field, too. And we have a timeout down on the field, it looks like. We got a player down on the field at the 30-yard line for Bishop Hartley.
And
with 6:43 left to go.
I don't see Cameron Culver on the field anywhere.
So with that being said, let's go back to the studios of AMA 20, where Lee Cochran and Ryan Baker standing by. And guys, what's going on back in the studio?
Well, just trying to catch up on all these playoff games. Scores are coming in crazy. It looks like Pick North is about to score again. They're up on Bradley 35-14 already. Franklin Heights just scored, then recovered a fumble on the kickoff. They have a 40-25 lead over Licking Heights now. Pickerington Central's rolling. Olentangy Liberty's up. Lancaster has lost tonight. So all kinds of things, and we'll give you all those scores later on tonight during the AM 820 scoreboard show.
Cameron Culver on his feet now, and with attendants on either side, not wanting to be helped off the field at all. He's walking under his own power, and he will check out.
Yeah, and he doesn't really look too woozy or anything like that. It just looks like he just got stung pretty good.
Carter's going to check in, and Dixon will check out as they go with another DB.
Foose is a big running back, and, you know, when he hits Cameron's only about 165 pounds, so maybe.
First and 10 from the 32 of the Hawks. 6:40 left to go. Eisnagel back in at quarterback. Hands it off to Dye. Oops, slides down. Lost his balance inside the 31-yard line. And then on top of everything else, he gets covered up by Ethan Amaya, who's waiting for him right there. So a gain of one on the play. Second and 9 from the 31. 6:25 left to go.
I think that looked like a tackle from the longest yard. I think he clotheslined him.
I like the original. I didn't like the remake.
No, I like the original. Sure. It's, rarely does a remake even come close to the original.
Burt Reynolds, Michael Conrad, Anitra Ford, James Hampton, Eddie Albert. Second and 9. Handoff. Dye. And he does right at the 31-yard line. He got waylaid right there. He bounced twice and still found absolutely nothing there. That Hartley defense in the middle is playing with a lot of fire. Boffman's on the bottom of that pile, and I think not only did he make the hit, but he got stepped on near the end of the play.
Yeah, he's not a happy camper. And you know, right now, the Hartley defense is going to bowl their necks, and they're probably going to get a stop here. It's third down and 9, and they're probably going to get a stop. But they're playing to put this thing out of reach, and it's tough because John Oliver's got the ball at the 30. In one play, and it's a 7-point game, and here we go.
Third down and 9 from just inside the 31. Koenig to the bottom.
They're going to run this three-level flood route to the high side.
Too wide at the top. Eisnagel from the gun, back to throw, looking near side, and the pass incomplete, looking for Koenig inside the 20-yard line. There is some contact and also some slippage by both players. And no flag is tossed, so now it's going to set up fourth down and 9.
Well, they had Koenig one-on-one with Jaden Manley out here, and he was just running a little 8 or 9 yard comeback route, just enough to get the first down, and the ball was on time. It just wasn't thrown accurately.
Well, this is not the strength of this offense so far tonight. Koenig, though, does have a touchdown catch, but for the most part, the running game between Dye and Foose. Dye with maybe the quick hitters, and Foose then with the power single wing style offense have been effective, but now they're in a fourth down and long. They need 9 to keep it going with the ball just inside the 31-yard line.
Well, certainly this is the play of the game so far.
Wing to the top, one back in the backfield. That's Dye to the left of Eisnagel. Going straight back to throw. Across the middle, the pass is caught inside the 20. Potts has got it at the 15-yard line. First catch by Dalton Potts in this contest as they go across the middle for the first time. And a flag. Uh-oh. That could be a sideline warning.
Yep.
And I mentioned it earlier, they're lucky they didn't get one because Brett Glass was out on the field. He was near the numbers on the field when he did a little dance on the field.
That's their first.
Yep. The ball's at the 15-yard line. Sideline warning against Jonathan Alder. Gain of 16 on the pass play to Potts. First and 10 from the 15. 5:01 left to go, and already the Pioneers up to the line of scrimmage. They go back to that single wing look. Eisnagel a wideout. Foose, the deep man in the backfield. He's got it right up the middle. Rumbling, stumbling, bumbling, and getting his way up to inside the 12 near the 11-yard line. We'll see where they mark him down because the whole pile moves with him.
Yes. And the problem with this is if it takes them more than 3 or 4 plays to score here, they're going to run another minute and a half or 2 minutes off the clock, and they don't have that kind of time.
Wow, they're going to say he's down closer to the 12, so a gain of 3 on the play. Second and 7 from there. 4:35 left to go. Although unofficially, and you can't go by the scoreboard, I don't have either team burning a timeout in the second half. Foose again down to the 10 before he lands on his helmet right there. So it'll be a third down and 5 from about the 10-yard line with 4:20 left to go.
Jack Boffman again on the tackle. Well, it's 3rd and 5, give or take, and they're going to have to get a first down here, and they're going to have to get it quickly and score quickly because we're down. We're going to be under 4 minutes.
But remember, Larry, they've got 3 timeouts. Uh-huh.
But they don't have the kind of offense that's a quick strike.
Eisnagel to the top. Foose from the single wing look. He's got it again. Looks up the middle, and they undercut him. He tries to kind of glide through a seam as much as you can glide at 240 pounds, and it's going to be 4th down now with 3:49. And the clock is ticking, although it goes from 3:49 to 3:46 to 3:44.
Jack Boffman again, and what the Hartley linebackers are doing is they're just coming up to fill the hole, and they're just submarining the blockers, and they're creating piles along the line of scrimmage.
Alder, 4 of 6 on 4th down conversions tonight, had the ball at the 7-yard line, 4th down and a long 2, 3:27 and ticking. And it's that single wing look. You don't have Foose throw it here, do you? And shock the world. 4th and 2.
He's not going to throw it.
And a timeout maybe by whom? Hartley?
Hartley.
Yep. The Hawks will burn a timeout. Unofficially their first. We'll take a break of 30 seconds here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
college scholarships are available from Education First Credit Union. With the fast rising cost of college tuition, free money is as important as ever. Education First has awarded over $140,000 in scholarships to deserving students. To learn more about Education First Credit Union or to request a scholarship application, contact us today. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity lender and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Guys, it's a close one out in Hannibal. River has just scored to cut the Reedy lead to 28-21. And Davidson has scored there on the board, but it's still Kaufman 24-3 in that one.
Fourth down and two for Alder. Perhaps the season right here from the 7-yard line. Alder, 4 of 6 on fourth down conversions, but 2 of 12 on third downs. They need a couple here from the 7. And they've got that single wing look again with Foos as the deep man of the three backs. He gets the direct snap. He takes it off the right side, and he's brought down. Penetration there. And he's brought down on the play by number 21, James Reese, the third, comes shooting through, knifing underneath, makes the hit, past the 8-yard line, and the Hawks get it back.
Well, and that's what the linebackers have been doing all along. The blockers are coming out to engage them chest high, and the linebackers are simply submarining those blockers and coming up on the other side, and that's what James Reese did there. Big play for the Hawks.
I'll tell you what, he gets by Reese, and he's going to take it into the corner for a touchdown.
Sure. Reese was the last man standing out there on the edge. Well, there was a cornerback out there who was being blocked, but he wanted no part of 240 pounds.
First and 10 for the Hawks now. Mark the ball. And inside the 7-yard line.
Here's your chance at 400 yards because Marquette Dixon takes this ball. He could go yard.
He's the deep back. Instead, it goes to the fullback. And look at Cone dragging defenders all the way up to the 19-yard line. And he's got enough for a Hartley Hawk first down. Nick Cone, 25 carries coming into this contest, an outstanding blocker, powerful guy at 6'2 and 230, and coming back next year as well, too, to the Hawks, part of the National Honor Society, playing smart football there. And did you notice how he cradled that football? Nobody was going to tear that from him.
Well, they've got the beef loads in right now.
Triple stack it from the 19-yard line, 2:49 left. Hawks going to wait until the back judge puts that arm in the air. It's up now with 5. Dixon's got it. Up to around the 23-yard line, and I think Jonathan Alder's going to burn a timeout.
Well, the one nice thing about this field is they have the 25-second clock. So if you're a quarterback, you can look at the clocks, and you don't even have to find the official because sometimes you can't see them back there. Little guys are back there.
Well, the way the clocks are working tonight, I'd look at the official.
Yeah, no. Probably a good idea.
So tomorrow night, Sheridan and DeSales. Mm-hmm. You and I will be there, and that should be interesting.
Well, Sheridan has got a good football team, and they play in a good conference, but they don't play teams like DeSales very often.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you what, Booth and Asamoah and Van Fossen and the boys, I just don't see this happening for Sheridan.
Well, you look at Division 3 and Region 11. And
they're all here.
Yeah, it's pretty much six of the eight teams.
The neighborhood game.
Think about the fact that I think Beechcroft and Eastmore play, right? And it could be DeSales and Beechcroft in the second round. Where do you play that? At the corner of Carl and 161?
Just play a touch game out in the street. It's no big deal. It's a neighborhood thing. A turkey bowl. You play turkey bowl.
I like it.
There you go.
Second down and 6 from just past the 23-yard line. Triple stack again with 2:34 left to go. Ruby under center. Jake.
Get him!
Dixon. Nope. Ruby's going to keep it around the outside and gets it up to around the 23-yard line. I was hoping everybody would go for the fake. Got basically back up the line of scrimmage, and Jonathan Alder's going to take another timeout. We'll pause for 30 seconds as well, too. The CCL Game of the Week here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Ohio Dominican University is Central Ohio's only Catholic university with an education that stretches your mind and strengthens your Catholic faith.
U.S. News and World Report calls ODU a top-tier Midwest university.
High-achieving students will want to explore our honors program or early admission programs to med school or physician assistant studies.
And some of our master's programs, including our MBA, are available with just one extra year of study.
Connect your passion with God's purpose for your life.
Learn more at ohiodominican.edu.
Licking Heights has just scored. Interesting one over at Franklin Heights. They still lead, though, 40-32. And some something we're following, at least. Devin Dukes has been helped off the field in that Reedy game. Silver Knights, though, still leading 28-21.
That's not good for the Knights.
No, you don't know what's going on with Devin, too, because he has that history of a little issue with the heartbeat as well, too. So hopefully we wish him the best. Toss sweep. Dixon, third down and six, and puts his head down and got up to maybe the 28-yard line. He looks like he could be a yard shy of the first down, but I don't think the Hawks would even bat an eye about going for it on fourth down.
They are a little bit short. I got a feeling Brad Birchfield would go for this.
Yep.
As silly as that sounds with your own 30-yard line, it's something he's done for the 7 or 8 years that he's been at Hartler, however long he's been there. It seems like it's...
Well, they moved the ball up now. They're going to bring the sticks on the field. They gave him a very generous spot near the 29-yard line. It looked like his knee touched down at the 28 on the far, far side of the field. They're going to extend the sticks. The big orange marker is yanked forward.
Ooh.
And up and down. And is it shy by an inch? Yeah. Shy by that much. So it'll be fourth down and short.
Well, the thing about going for it here is you put the game away. If you get it, you put the game away. But even if you don't get it, J.A. has to go 30 yards against his Hartley defense, and it's that's a tough road to hoe.
Don't forget, coming up after the game, it is the AMA 20 Scoreboard Show presented by ThisWeekSports.com. You got Ryan, you got Lee, you got all the scores and highlights from the playoff games affecting all the teams from our area. The AMA 20 Scoreboard Show after the game, only on AMA 20 and StGabrielRadio.com. It was the third and final timeout taken by Jonathan Alder as well, too, I believe.
You're going to see Jonathan Alder put 11 guys up, and they're all going to be blowing gaps and trying to do everything. So if this one gets a crease, this is the kind of play that goes the distance.
Are you surprised by the performance of both of these teams in this contest tonight?
I'm surprised by Hartley in the sense that it was 21-0 in a flash, and then they kind of like almost lost interest. And I don't mean that they – it's just they lost their edge. And then they made very uncharacteristic mistakes that Hartley hasn't made all year. Even in their losses, they didn't make those mistakes. And so that surprised me. Jonathan Alder, I knew they wouldn't quit. I knew they'd come back. I knew they'd fight. And when you get a team like J.A., you have to finish them off. You can't let them hang around.
Well, if the Hawks get a first down here, we'll free up Larry in just a second to head down to the field to talk to Brad Birchfield at the end of this contest. Fourth down, less than one, triple stack again. Do you keep it if you're Ruby? Do you give it to Dixon? Dixon time. Plows ahead and has the first down. Across the 30 to the 31.
I don't know how you stop that. He is at full speed within about two or three steps.
Maynard with the hit on the play, but that's enough to move the sticks and pretty much ice it without the noggle for the Hartley Hawks with 2:18 and ticking this contest. First and 10 from the 32-yard line, 2:08 left to go. They don't have to snap it until about 1:52. Ruby brings him up to the line. There's two backs now. Peers across the line into the secondary, sees the arm go up by the back judge saying 5 seconds left, and snaps it and hands it off to Cohn, who kind of jumped up in the air after he got the handoff and went forward for about a yard or so. That'll be it.
Nick Cohn jumps for a two-yard gain.
1:40 left. This is the postseason, so Hartley will move on. Second down and 8 from the 34-yard line. Down to 1:23 left to go. This time they do triple stack the eye. And again, Ruby not taking any chances with the scoreboard here, just looking directly at the back judge. Waiting till the arm goes up in the air. The five count, arm goes up, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He snaps the football, hands it off, and Dixon churns all the way up to the 40-yard line before he's knocked down on the play with 58 seconds left to go. One more play if they take their time and get up leisurely from this stack. They'll mark the ball at the 40-yard line as Marquette Dixon is over 300 yards. Doesn't look like he's going to get his 400 yards, but this is the scenario now on third down in a couple. Where you look at the clock, you see 37 seconds left. You see 14 on the play clock, so one more snap. Jake Ruby again. Looking straight up and right into the eyes of the back judge. Sees the arm go up. Hands it off. Dixon off the left side. They try to tackle the football, but he goes down at the 43. And a flag tossed in with 17.4 seconds left to go. Now, Dixon could have enough for the first down. We'll see where they mark it. But there's also a flag that rests at the 43-yard line.
There's laundry on the field.
Andy Teeter comes our way. It's his personal foul. Illegal helmet contact against Jonathan Alder. That's a first down for the Hawks, and that will put it away for Bishop Hartley. They'll move it with 17.4 left to go. All Hartley has to do is just wait it out here. Nothing fancy. The penalty is declined, in fact, because it's enough for the first down, so they'll keep it right at the 43-yard line. With 17.4 left to go, Andy Teeter peers at both teams, says crank that clock, and the Hawks do not have to run another play. And that'll do it. They'll advance. Hugs down on the field, but it was a hard-fought victory in this one as Bishop Hartley gets 21 early points. Jonathan Alder fights back. The Hawks prevail to play in regional semifinal action next week. Bishop Hartley wins it 35-21. We'll take a break and be back with our postgame show in just a moment. This is the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
This is Bobby Dawes for Bob Boyd Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Lancaster, where the deals have never been better than during the Ram Power Days. Save up to $11,000 on new 2016 Ram Crew Cab 4x4s or get 0% financing for 72 months on all new 2016 Ram 1500s. Shop us 24/7 at bobboyd.com. Come see us at Bob Boyd Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Lancaster, where the best deals you'll see are always on Route 33. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
Education First Credit Union is dedicated to providing our members the best possible loan and savings rates in a friendly and professional manner. We offer savings and checking accounts, certificates of deposit, investment and retirement accounts, and loans including auto, home, and personal. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity lender, NMLS number 811-029, and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
And welcome back to Volunteer Field, where Hartley gets the victory over Jonathan Alder. They advance to week number 12 of the football season, and Larry Wolf standing by down on the field.
I'm down here with Coach Brad Birchfield. A very important 35-21 victory. Every win's a good win in the playoffs, but this was not as easy as some people may have thought it should have been.
No, I didn't think it would be easy. Obviously, you win a playoff football game by 14 points, by two scores, you feel pretty good. We had to come up with some great goal line stands in there. Had to convert. Marquette obviously played a huge game. Offensive line did great. But, we're not going to survive anymore with penalties and turnovers. That's for sure.
Let's talk a little bit about Marquette Dixon. I mean, I don't know how many rushes he had, but he was well over 300 yards for the night and five touchdowns. He's a man possessed.
Yeah, we should give to him every play, honestly, it almost looks like. We almost should. So I'm proud of the kids that kept battling. It was a great football game. I think people got their money's worth. I mean, probably what a 4-5 game should look like. But, we got to get better to keep going, and that's where our focus is going to be.
Your defense played well. Jack Baldwin and Cody Kirkbride and Jaden Manley. The defense gave up 21 points, but they played pretty doggone well.
Yeah, I think that, the kid made the circus sketch, 25. It was a great play. They're going to score on those. But then you've had a couple good goal line stands. I mean, this could have been anybody's game very, very easy.
Right, and you had a couple short fields. You gave the ball up, a couple turnovers on the short side of the field, and that's not good.
We don't want to keep doing that.
I'll bet they work on that again because they do it every week at Bishop Hartley. Congratulations, Coach Birchfield. It's on to game 12.
Fort Clinton, rematch.
Here we go.
Indians.
Here we go. Congratulations, Brad.
Larry, thank you very much. We'll take a break and wrap it up from Volunteer Field. Hartley wins 35-21. This is St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Because from the moment we meet, you become the most important patient we could possibly have. It's why we'll go above and beyond today. And go even further tomorrow. Because caring for you is an honor and a blessing. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason for everything we do. You are why we seek the best people with the highest levels of skill, training, and experience, and why we invest in the best equipment, from life-saving technology to healing spaces with all the comforts of home. so you can get better. So you can live. Work. Play. Love. Mount Carmel. Because of you.
One final time back at Volunteer Field as Hartley gets by Jonathan Alder, 35-21. Total offense in this contest as we look at the stats. Hartley, 490 yards. Alder, 275. 475 rushing for the Hawks. 15 passing for Alder. 170 on the ground. 105 in the air. 18 first downs for the Hawks. 14 for Alder. 8 penalties for 81 yards against the Hawks. For Alder, 2 for 25. No turnovers by the Pioneers, but 3 by the Hawks in this contest. Marquette Dixon, 22 carries, 346 yards, 5 touchdowns. Nick Onaga, 7 for 44 in this game. 8 ball carriers in this contest for Bishop Hartley to amass their 475 yards. Larry, down on the field, your final thoughts about this game, sir?
Well, it was the Marquette Dixon show. I mean, he runs angry. He's a big, strong running back. And he's got good hips, and he levels off on his pads. You know, it was just too much power and too much strength, really. But the thing that kept Jonathan Alder in the game were the uncharacteristic Hartley turnovers. And if you're going to turn the ball over, you could lose these kind of games. And the 35-21 probably should have been more like 42-7 if you don't turn the ball over on the short side of the field. But you know what? Give this Jonathan Alder team some credit. They hung tough. I told you they would. I knew they wouldn't quit. And Hartley needs to clean up a few things and move on to game 12 against a pass-happy team that they're going to see next week. They're going to throw the ball all over the yard. So this will be a contrast in styles next week.
What this means is you and I will have a game somewhere next week, either following Hartley or perhaps Reedy on a Friday night. And a reminder, too, you're listening to WBSG Columbus St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. So Hartley gets the win. 35-21, our thanks to Larry Wolf and Scott Rex and Greg Savaldi and our great crew back at the studios. AM 820 headed up by Ryan Baker and Lee Cochran of the gang. 35-21 again, the final score. Talk to you tomorrow night when Sheridan takes on DeSales. Our pregame coverage starts at 6:45. I'm Randy Reinhart. For all involved, I say good night and God bless.
You have been listening to the CCL Football Game of the Week. The CCL Football Game of the Week has been brought to you by the Mount Carmel Foundation. Your play-by-play announcer tonight was Randy Reinhart, along with color analyst Larry Wolf. Join us again tomorrow night for Division III playoff action as DeSales hosts Sheridan. The coverage beginning at 6:45 with the pregame show. Get all your area playoff scores with the AM 820 Scoreboard Show next.
It's 0% financing for 70.